I struggled, thinking, on the one hand, but this is one night, and I'm back in my apartment in a week. What about all the people who have to try to cope every day with no end in sight with whatever comes? And on the other hand, I had an understandable self-centered desire for relief, and soon. Rain, concrete, no apparent alternatives were my teachers that night.
Welcome to the First Unitarian Universalist Society of San Francisco's Sunday Morning Worship Service podcast. For more information or downloads of previous audio services, go to uusf.org. While you're there, check out our monthly newsletter, weekly flame, and much, much more.
Well, I want to add my thanks. First, thank you, Bell Choir. And also add my thanks to the leaders and teachers of our children. Those who choose to step up and make a commitment to engage with our children and teach our Unitarian Universalist values play a vital role in our present and in shaping our future, both within and beyond these walls. So today's sermon, Joy Concealed, Joy Revealed, begins our series on the subject of joy, the worship theme for the month of May. I want to begin, though, by telling you something you already know on some level, but something to which we as a community here and in the larger city of San Francisco and beyond, that we have failed to respond to adequately. On our city streets, there are up to 15,000 homeless individuals. 15,000 homeless individuals, some of them on their own, some in couples, some are families. You may notice people standing in line for food. You may notice them sitting on sidewalks or sleeping in Civic Center Plaza during the day. What you may not notice in all of that is the chronic sleep deprivation with which so many thousands of people on our streets suffer. Sleep deprivation leads to serious illness and sometimes to irresponsible behavior and even death. People without homes are without the basics of life, and in this country, one such thing is privacy for self-grooming and elimination. We have no right to complain about people urinating or defecating on the street in the night when there aren't public toilets, and those that are out there are not kept in good repair, except to some extent in tourist areas. We need to get real about these things and stop complaining if we aren't going to take right action to change these circumstances. We want long-term housing, and that will take years. We need short-term housing now, nourishing food, welcome, and proper toilets and bath facilities now. On April 24th, I began my third week-long retreat with others of the Faithful Fools, knowing as I approached the day that I'd be delivering a sermon this morning on this month's theme of joy. My week was my teacher. My experience on the streets, and all the while I held a few questions in my mind and in my heart. The first really series of questions we faithful fools entertain over and over again. What holds me separate? What keeps me separated? As I walk the streets, what still connects me? What holds us separate? What keeps us separated as we walk the streets? What still connects us? And this particular time out, I carried with me questions about joy. How would I find my joy as I walked the streets? With a topic like joy, you might come here today anticipating a particular take on the subject, one that is maybe light and feathery. But if you came here to be comforted and only comforted, you will be disappointed. And if you come here again and again in the hopes of being reinforced to live in a bubble that runs from your house to your workplace, keeping you in familiar places, including this church, you will find none of that in this sermon. Perhaps your craving, almost like a drug, for even more comfort, even more protection, even more insularity, will give way for a desire to connect more deeply with your joy. That is my hope and prayer for all of us. When we break open, we find our way. That is how we find ourselves aligned with our better values and our joy. And we need one another. We need one another to hold us to our commitments to do just that. So about joy. We misuse the word joy, watering it down, using it interchangeably with happiness and pleasure. We all do it. But happiness and pleasure are transient, usually associated with some event or moment in time. They're not bad, mind you, just highly overrated. Joy, on the other hand, is an endless supply within each and every one of us. Like the sun on a cloudy day, our joy may be concealed from us. Our life circumstances and our perspective may deceive us into thinking joy is absent. But it may just be that we ask ourselves the wrong questions in our effort to find our joy. In our confusion about the nature of joy, as if it was the same as happiness or pleasure, we may be looking for cheap joy rather than deep joy. What is cheap joy? Do you know the phrase cheap grace? Anybody ever hear that phrase? I see a theologian there did, yes, okay. That's one. Well, it's a term used by German Christian theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, referring to someone who would have the benefits of the Christian faith without its costs, without sacrifice. We can't know real joy either if we willfully blind ourselves to our own or another's suffering. We cannot be true to our highest values without sacrifice. This is not just a Christian value. That first night, the eight of us faithful fools found ourselves caught in that much-needed hard rain that Friday night. By 12:30 a.m., several of us, who had found sleeping ground together, were scrambling to gather up our things and take shelter under an overhang nearby. The cardboard boxes we'd flattened and had between us and the concrete were destroyed. The overhang was an improvement, but I, for one, I couldn't lay down. not so cold and wet as I was, not on the concrete so cold and wet. I couldn't do anything but sit up for the next 6 hours, shivering, the wind blowing. It felt like it was blowing right through me. I was cold to the bone, begging morning to come. I struggled, thinking on the one hand, but this is one night and I'm back in my apartment in a week. What about all the people who have to try to cope every day with no end in sight with whatever comes? And on the other hand, I had an understandable self-centered desire for relief, and soon. Rain, concrete, no apparent alternatives were my teachers that night. I thought about how we'd originally settled on another spot. We'd set up our sleeping area only to be met with hostility when a man came along claiming the place for himself. I'm here every single night, 365 days a year. This is my space, he insisted. In my wakefulness, I had many thoughts. I wondered if we'd have been less wet had we stayed in that place the man claimed as his. From my resentment reservoir, I thought, that guy doesn't exactly have a lease on that spot. And from some other place, I thought both that I am grateful the suffering would end for me, and I longed for it to end for that man and all the others for whom weeks had turned into 365 days a year, and for some, year after year after year. Next night, sitting on cold stone steps, I found myself looking up into the clear night sky through the branches of a tree I've passed many hundreds of times. At that angle, what I saw was as if new. But it wasn't just new. Now, not to sound too Northern California or anything like it, being from Brooklyn as I am, but it was not a tree in that moment, not a tree or that tree, but tree or treeness just in that moment. And that bright, shiny star beyond wasn't a star or the star, but star, a way, shape, size, and dimension of starness, a quality more than something static. And for one brief moment, I wasn't a person. I wasn't this person, but person. Human beingness. In other words, the star, the tree, and I, we weren't hard and fast and well-boundaried forms, but as if an essence. That's what I was experiencing in that moment. Looking beyond myself with soft eyes, I could experience something out into the periphery, beyond the objects. There was a gentleness in that. A peace wrapped itself around me. It took me beyond my awareness of my physical discomfort, bone tired, still bone cold, unable to sleep through the night with all the light and the noise, to what seemed to me, in every fiber of my being, a better place. Others began to gather to settle into their places, and that first fellow who told us we'd taken his spot that first night, there he was again. We welcomed him. One among us offered him her name and asked his. Over the course of the week, we were in conversation, hearing his story and other people's stories too, and we shared some of our stories. We became a little bit like a neighborhood. In fact, I think I know more about the people we met in the streets than I do about most of my neighbors across the bay. We talked, all of us. Maybe the best thing of all is when one or the other of us, or even several of us, broke into song. Music can be a uniter. Even if someone sings a song you don't know or you don't necessarily like, it seems there's a kind of neutral zone that's declared when Mary pulls out her ukulele or Rebecca sings a song she wrote while on this retreat. Or a few of us try to jog each other's memories about Stevie Nicks' greatest hits. And it becomes clear to me that if I approach people, like the people I meet on the streets, with soft eyes, as I remove the otherness about them in my mind's eye, loosen my grip on my preconceived attitudes, fears, judgments, then we are all just neighbors. And I can feel my joy in our connection. What holds us separate? What keeps us separated? Is our fear of the unknown, our projections, our biases, born sometimes, it's true, of experience we've had with one person or even a group of people along the way, or simply out of our own ignorance? Freeing ourselves from negative beliefs takes practice, practice, practice. I can testify to that, practice. When we can come to recognize our own sons and daughters, our own fathers and mothers there on the streets, our neighbors, it helps us to shed all the hype and addictions we have to over-the-top comfort and over-the-top insulation. When we come to recognize our own sons and daughters, our own fathers and mothers on the streets, truly look at people and think that could be my son or daughter, my mother or father, our neighbors, it helps us shed all the hype and addictions we have to over-the-top comfort and over-the-top insulation. As the layers fall away, joy is revealed. May we each and all break open again and again. May it happen for you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of the First Unitarian Universalist Society of San Francisco Sunday Morning Worship Service. For more information or downloads of previous audio services, go to uusf.org. While you're there, check out our monthly newsletter, weekly flame, and much, much more.